If you would this morning, turn with me again to the book of Revelation, chapter 22. Begin reading at verse 6. And we'll read through the end of the chapter. Let's again go to the Lord in prayer before we come to the Word. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit that takes your word and allows us to hear not just words, but hear you speak. Not just to our ears, but to the very depths of our hearts and our souls. And Lord, we ask that you might do that over these next few moments as we once again look at this precious Word of God. We ask this for your glory. We ask this for the uplifting of the Lord Jesus Christ as we pray in his precious name. Amen. Beginning of verse 6. And he said to me, "These words are faithful and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show his bondservants the things which must soon take place. And behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who heeds the words of the prophecy of this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed me these things. But he said to me, 'Do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours and of your brethren, the prophets, and of those who heed the words of this book. Worship God.' And he said to me, 'Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Let the one who does wrong still do wrong, and the one who is filthy still be filthy. And let the one who is righteous still practice righteousness, and the one who is holy still keep himself holy. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to render every man according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, so that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter by the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, and the sorcerers, and the immoral persons, and the murderers, and the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices lying. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' And let the one who hears say, 'Come.' Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues which are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city, which are written in this book. I who testify to these things say, yes, I am coming quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen and amen. Well, I'm sure probably all of us have heard at some time or another someone say, you cannot judge a book by its cover. Appearances can be deceiving. Something can appear to be one thing, and in reality, turn out to be something quite different. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 says, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father. Saying a prayer, being baptized, coming to the front of a church, doesn't guarantee. Saying, Lord, doesn't guarantee. The things on the outside might be quite different than what's really on the inside. He who does the will of my Father. Lord, we preached in your name. We witnessed in your name. We cast out demons in your name. We prophesied. We performed wondrous works in your name. Depart from me. I never knew you. I never before the foundation of the earth set my love upon you. I never knew you. I never loved you in a saving way. You might have been the recipients of all kinds of common grace love. The sun shines on the just and the unjust. It rains in the yards of the just and the unjust. It waters their gardens. But they give no thought, no praise, no thanks, no gratitude. You can preach, you can teach, you can witness. You can do good works for nothing but selfish, self-focused motives. What's on the outside doesn't always reveal what's on the inside. Matthew chapter 23, verse 27, Jesus says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside appear beautiful, but on the inside are full of dead men's bones and uncleanliness. You can't judge a book by its cover. Well, the book of Revelation is a book that you can absolutely judge by its cover. The cover being the prologue in verses 1 through 8 and the epilogue in verses 22, 6 to 21, what we just read this morning. The prologue and the epilogue really give you the whole book. It tells us what's in the book. Chapter 1, verse 1, we read the revelation of Jesus Christ. Chapter 22, verse 21, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. It's all about Christ. You want to know what the book of Revelation is about? It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about monsters and visions and all kinds of strange things. They're in it, but it's all about Jesus Christ. It's not trying to figure out who the Antichrist is, not trying to figure out what the 7 years are, what the rapture, when's the temple. It's about the reign and rule of the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed things which are written in it. For the time is near. Read. The first copy of the book of Revelation sent to the seven churches. And a man would stand up and he read that book. He read Revelation from beginning to end to the people. And as we said all the way through, the book of Revelation has to be studied with our imaginations. We have to be able to see. We have to be able to feel the colors and the tensions and sense these visions and see something of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then those who heard and those who heed, those who put into practice. Verse 24, verse 22:7. At the back says the same thing. And behold, I'm coming quickly. Blessed is he who heeds the words of the prophecy of this book. There's seven blessings throughout the book of Revelation. It begins with a blessing in 1:3. It ends with a blessing in 2:14. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life. And may enter the gates into the gates into the city. How do we wash our robes? In Jesus Christ. We'll see that when we get to that. Verse 1:8 in the prologue. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Verse 22:13, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And then is added, the beginning and the end. Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh. Jesus Christ now sits enthroned, reigning and ruling over all things. Every one of us in this room must and will deal with the Lord Jesus Christ. We will one day be asked, what have you done with me? As we stand before His presence. But that's already been answered. And how we've lived our lives, either loving Him and obeying Him, or we've lived our lives ignoring Him. The books of the unbeliever will be open. The books and the deeds of the believer has already been settled. That judgment has already taken place. Do you think, I don't know if you remember a few years ago at Lorville, Larry McCall was speaking, and he made this statement that 48% of people in the PCUS, at that time was the PCUS, believed that you could get to God through some other means than Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God is kind of like the center spoke of a wagon wheel and all the different spokes that come and attach to this hub? There's just many different ways. And again, all religions ultimately lead to the same place. It really doesn't make any difference what you believe as long as you really believe it. As long as you really have faith in it. And if you believe that, and if you think that, and if we practice that in our lives, we're calling Jesus Christ a liar. We're saying your word's not true. Because Jesus very clearly says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. But through me. Book of Revelation. It's about the reigning Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about Christ. His present reign, His present rule over all things. Preparing, moving forward, moving on, constantly moving towards the ultimate goal of the consummation of all things when Jesus Christ will physically appear again. And when He appears, He will raise the dead. He will judge the wicked, and He will make all things new. There'll be a new heaven. There'll be a new earth. The sin that was introduced into the Garden of Eden, all the effects of that sin will be removed from all of creation. There will be not a trace. We will have received those who have been by grace joined to Christ and have lived their lives seeking Christ to elevate Him and to lift Him high and seeking to be conformed more to His image. We'll now have glorified bodies and we will be like Him because we'll be in His very presence. We're all moving. The world is moving. God's redemptive plan being worked out in Christ is moving towards that day. And it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And if you're in Christ, if we're in Christ right now, if by God's grace we have come to see the glory of the triune God in the face of Jesus, we haven't tried to play this game of going around Jesus to get to this thing called God. Jesus said, if you see me, you see the Father. No one can get to the Father but through me, but by being in me, I will take you into the presence of the Trinity. And right now, as Christians, as those who have experienced God's grace, the forgiveness of sin, knowing that we're loved, right now every adopted child of God in Christ lives in the now of the now and not yet. Where's our citizenship right now? If we are in Christ, where is our citizenship? Well, we sort of have a dual citizenship, don't we? But our citizenship, Philippians 3, 20 and 21. Turn there with me. Philippians 3, 20 and 21. Where do we think our citizenship is? Philippians 3, 20. For our citizenship is in heaven. Right now. That's the now, of the now and not yet. Our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we eagerly awaiting for the Savior who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity of the body of His glory? By the exertion of the power which He has even to subject all things to Himself. That's the book of Revelation. Right now, we are citizens of heaven. Our citizenship is exercised. Our citizenship is experienced by faith right now. By faith. By the gift given to us through the working of the Holy Spirit, that we see something of this enthroned, reigning Lord. We know something of being forgiven. We know something of being loved. And it is transforming. It is changing. It is conforming us into the very image of Christ. We are citizens of heaven right now by faith. Even though so often, even so often, it doesn't look like it when we look around. And so often it doesn't feel like it. But we walk by faith. We live by faith. Not by feelings and not by sight and what we see. Everything that we see taking place upon this earth, we see through it to this reigning Lord Jesus, to whom by grace we've been joined. Just one place. Go to Ephesians chapter 1 with me. Ephesians chapter 1. Right at the end of the chapter. What Jesus? Do you see? Do you see the Christ of Revelation? Are we living in light of the Christ of Revelation? Beginning of verse 18, we'll read these final verses of Ephesians chapter 1. A glorious description of the work of the triune God in saving sinners. Paul says in verse 18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? What is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe? It's not our strength. It's not our ability. It's not our wisdom. It's not our goodness. It's his power towards us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might. That's why I love that song we sing. Jesus, I am resting in the joy of what thou art. It's not our strength. It's not our power. Which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the age to come. That's the book of Revelation. That's the Christ of Revelation. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church. Are you part of the church? Or do you just go to church? Are we a part of the church? Or do we just use the church to give us maybe some sense that maybe it'll be all right when I stand in the presence of Christ? All thanks to the church, his bride, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all and all. This is what the book of Revelation is all about. It's about Jesus Christ, the God-man, the promised Messiah. Now, chapter 1, verse 3, and chapter 22, verse 7, one in the prologue, one in the epilogue, both tells us the blessing that comes to the one who hears. The one who heeds the prophecy. What does it mean to heed the prophecy? What does it mean to heed the things written in the book of Revelation? How do we heed? What does that mean? We hear. What does it mean to heed? The blessing is promised to the ones who heed. You can hear it. You might even figure it out in some way and have an idea of what it is of Jesus reigning and ruling and working all things together to call together His church and to redeem His church out of this fallen world and to work up and pile up judgment for His enemies, those who have rejected His lordship, those who have opposed His church. You might understand that. You might see that. But are we heeding? What does it mean to heed? If we believe the message of the book of Revelation, if we believe that this is God's word, this is the word of Christ, this is Jesus' word to His church, to the seven churches and to the churches of all ages, this is Jesus' word to me. What does it mean to heed? What does it look like to heed? What does that look like in our lives? What will it look like this afternoon and tomorrow? And every day this week, what does it look like in our lives of knowing that we are moving forward and Jesus Christ is going to appear one day? He's going to come to raise the dead, to judge the wicked, to make all things. What does that look like in our lives? How do we demonstrate? See, the word heed here carries the idea of obeying, of putting into practice, of living in light of, but it also carries a strong emphasis on the word to cherish. To heed is to keep. It's to cherish something. If you're like me, you go, wow, you know, I'm not so sure that I've always cherished the book of Revelation. But that's exactly what John is saying. We don't have to have every detail worked out to see Jesus Christ in the book of Revelation and sovereign reigning control over all things and cherishing that and allowing that to touch every part of our lives. This is how we're going to close the book of Revelation, not this morning. But we're going to look at seven applications. Hopefully, seven applications of the book to our lives as we seek to heed and keep and apply. Here's how we should live in anticipation of the appearing of the King. Appearing face to face with the Lord Jesus, either at our deaths or at the consummation. They're both going to happen. Jesus said, if you love me, John 14:15, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. That's what we have here in the book of Revelation. Can't say, Jesus, I love you, but I'm going to live life my way. So, chapter 22, verses 6 and 7, first of all, what does it look like to heed the prophecy of this book? Verse 6, and he said to me, these words are faithful and true. Do you believe that the book of Revelation is a faithful and true witness? The words of Christ. And the Lord God, and the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophet, sent his angel to show his bondservant things which must soon take place. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who heeds, keeps, cherishes the words of the prophecy of this book. Do we desire? Is there anything in our lives that we desire to obey the Word of God? Not just know it. And not just to have a knowledge of parts of it. But do we see that this is the Word of Christ? This is the Word from Genesis to Revelation, revealing the person and the work and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we cherish that. And is there anything in us that consciously wants to obey it? Or have we just gotten really comfortable with where we are? And we'll read it, but not with a real desire to see Christ in it, and to see Christ in it so that we can become more like Him. Obeying because He loves me. Obeying because He's forgiven me. Do we desire the Word of God to be alive in our daily lives? Not to get something, but because by grace we've been given something. And the Spirit of God is at work in us, producing this desire. Colossians 3:1 and 2 says, therefore, the therefore can look back to chapter 2, verse 20. If you have died with Christ. But it also looks forward. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above. Again, keep, cherish the things above. Heed the things above, where Christ is seated. Where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, the place of honor and power. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. There's not one of us. We lay our heads down at night. Say, Lord, my mind has been so earthly bound today. My thoughts. And it's not an either or. As we go through every experience, everything that comes into our lives, we're to do that with our eyes, yes, upon the things of this earth, but looking through it to see this reigning Lord Jesus. That He is the one who is reigning and ruling, and everything that touches my life comes through His hands. For His glory. For the good of His church. And to conform me to His image. Let me begin. That comes through the Word of God. It comes through seeing the Christ of Scripture. The Christ of the prophecy of this book. Dennis Johnson, I read this before, I think, to you in his commentary entitled The Triumph of the Lamb, says this about this passage. Scripture is not a passive cadaver. It's not a dead body laying out there, waiting for curious medical students to dissect it in their quest for information. This is not the Bible. I'm going to come. Boy, you know what? I'm interested in this. I'm going to study this. I want to get this knowledge about here, and I get this knowledge. And boy, I've got this doctrine down, and I have this truth that nobody else knows, and all of a sudden, our knowledge just puffs up, Paul says. Dennis Johnson says that's not what Scripture is for. He goes on to say, it is a living, double-edged sword that proceeds from the mouth of the triumphant Son of Man and pierces the thoughts and intents of our hearts. It's a hammer that shatters, a seed that grows, rainfall that never returns to its giver without accomplishing the mission for which He sent it. The Scripture never, Scripture's not going to fail this morning. Scripture's going to accomplish its purpose this morning, either in shaping us and making us more like Jesus Christ, or hardening us and moving us further away from Christ. Scripture has a job to do in us. Do I desire? Is there anything in me that desires Scripture to do that work? That's heeding. That's putting into practice the book of Revelation 2. The second thing is, in verses 8 and 9, I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed me these things. But he said to me, do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours and of your brethren, the prophets, and of those who heed, there it is again, those who heed the words of this book. That's us. It was given to John, and it was given to John's brethren, the other prophets. And it's given to those who heed, put into practice the words of this prophecy. Is there a desire within our hearts at all this morning? Is there a conscious desire not to have false gods in our lives? Not to have idols in our lives? Very simply, what do we talk about the most? What do we think about the most? What brings us the greatest delight? What brings us the greatest joy? Where does our mind go when we just sit down and relax? All of life is to be viewed as an act of worship. There's no secular place for the Christian. Every place we are is holy ground. Every place we are belongs to the Lord. He is the reigning Lord Jesus Christ, enthroned far above all power, all dominion, all rule, everything. All things have been placed in subjection under His feet. Everything, every part of life is to be viewed. Every event in life is to be viewed and cherished in the presence of Christ. And even in it, just by being who we are in Christ, we are setting Him forth. Coram Deo from Ligonier Ministry. In His presence. In His presence. The warning of these verses is, do I truly view every part of my life a desire to worship and set forth Christ? It's a warning that shows us that we can take, this is a quote, we can take a good thing like an angel and turn it into a God thing. And make it into a bad thing, an idol. And there's nothing in our life we can't do that to. Job, recreation, hobby, family, spouse, children, grandchildren, health, money. Jesus said, if anyone loves father, mother, son or daughter, husband, wife, or even your own life more than me, you're not my disciple. And that rich young ruler, Matthew 19, came to Jesus. What can I do to inherit eternal life and keep the law? He said, well, I've done all that. And he probably had. He was probably just a great kid. Graduated summa cum laude. He wasn't a bum. Jesus says, you lack one thing. Go sell everything you have. Go sell everything you have and come follow me. And the young man couldn't do that. He walks away. He walks away sad. Because the only place, the only way that there's any real contentment, any real satisfaction, any real purpose is resting in Jesus Christ. In the glory, in the joy of what thou art. He couldn't do it. You know, I'm convinced, you know what? When we truly come to Christ and we say, Lord, it's all yours. It's all yours. My life is yours. All of it. He gives us life back. He doesn't make us just run around with nothing, with no purpose, no meaning, no joy. He gives us real life back because everything that's in our lives that we thought was so important, now as we put it and see it in the hands of Christ saying, Lord, use this for your glory. Use this for your church's purpose and glory. Not mine. Use it for your glory. And I want nothing more than to see you glorified. He gives everything back. He who gives up mother and father. Jesus said, I'll give you back 100-fold now in this time. We're going to preach a message on that one of these days. What are you getting now? Right now. Because we've given everything to Christ. And we view all of life as an act of worship. Is there a desire? Not a perfect, full-fledged, 100% over-the-top desire all the time. Now, is there any desire in us? Conscious desire. Not to have any idols. But to worship the one true God revealed in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. We'll stop there. We've got 2 of the 7 done. Let's stand. Thank you for the book of Revelation, Lord. Thank you for that. For the challenge. Thank you for the affirmation that comes from this book. This prophecy revealing the reality of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the encouragement that comes. Thank you for the commands that we're not left just to wander around. You direct us. And thank you for that command simply to love one another, to love as we have been loved. You don't give us a list of rules to do. You give us a relationship that we live out of. Thank you for those commands. Lord, we just thank you. We praise you this morning. We thank you for the warnings. The warnings that we will see even given to the church again in this last chapter. That everything that appears to be isn't always what it claims or appears to be in our lives. Lord, we don't want to be a liar, a hypocrite, and end up outside. And we thank you. We thank you for that work of the Holy Spirit, that power that comes to move and to work within us to simply reveal Jesus Christ and enables us to sing, Jesus, I am resting in the joy of what thou art, what you have done, what you are doing, and what you've done in my life. Father, would you speak that to our hearts this morning? If we are in Christ this morning, would you remind us and refresh that message? If there's someone here who is yet to know Christ in that way, to know Christ in a way that they can rest and they can stop working, they can stop pretending, they can take everything that they have and say, Lord, it's yours. Would you, through your Spirit, work that this day to your glory? In Christ's name, amen.